This morning, I'll say some words and instructions around thinking, mindfulness of thinking. It's as valid area of mindfulness as breathing and body and emotions, anything in this lived world of ours. But we wait until later in the retreat to introduce the instructions, because it's all too easy for a focus on thinking to result in more thinking. But maybe, well into the retreat now, it's possible to begin relating to thinking in a new way, a different way than usual. Especially if the usual way is to very quickly be involved in thinking, spinning out in thinking, ruminating, telling stories, without much presence of mind, without much stepping back and seeing clearly. Thinking is happening here and now. One of the remarkable ways of discovering, important ways of discovering the power of mindfulness is if you find yourself thinking about the past, to clearly know that the thinking itself is happening in the present. Not casually know, but clearly know, almost as if you're telling yourself, wow, in the present moment I'm having these thoughts that are about the past. It's a kind of a waking up without rejecting it, but seeing it while awake. Same with thinking about the future. Maybe the future thinking doesn't stop, but there's a clear recognition in the present moment, in this mind, there's thoughts that concern the future. And that ability with past and future thinking to kind of step out of its gravitational force, pull, and to see it kind of objectively is actually quite powerful with thinking, because thinking produces is tremendously impactful on our life. It's rare that thinking is innocent of influencing how we feel, how we see the world, how we see ourselves. And what we repeat over and over again in our thoughts over time or right away will have a big impact. But the impact is not so obvious. And because of that, the impact that thinking can carry with it a lot of authority. Or to say it more accurately, we grant a lot of authority to our thoughts, to their importance. And some of them are. And even the important ones that need to be thought, maybe don't need to be thought about again and again and again, over and over again. One of the most important teachings I had about mindfulness of thinking and meditation, is the teaching to not be bothered by your thoughts, not to be troubled by them, because being troubled by thinking, paradoxically, gives them more energy, stirs them up even more. Maybe a little bit like a dog that comes barking and you get all excited, waving your hands and running around, and it just excites the dog more. But if you're able to stand calm and still, it's more likely the dog will quiet down too. So I'd like to offer you an exercise around mindfulness of thinking. It takes you maybe a little bit out of the flow of how you've been practicing, but maybe it's very useful to have a better understanding of thinking and how to practice with it, so that at some point in the future when this becomes relevant, you'll better understand how to do it. And the exercise begins by allowing yourself to think. You might even want to let go of your breathing or whatever else you're focusing on, and give freedom to your mind to think as it wishes. Finally, and what happens when you give that kind of freedom to your mind to think in the context of just being aware of this is what's happening? No need to let go of it, no need to fight it or judge it. Complete permission to think whatever you want to think. Conscious permission where you stay present for what you're permitting. And with this kind of freedom to think, are you galloping off in thought, finally, or is thinking, what's the nature of thinking in this kind of permissive way? Is it less insistent? Might it be a little bit kind of not as insistent? Or as captivating? And then gently, with the softest voice you can, the preschool voice, maybe. Next time you notice that you're thinking, recognize that with a soft voice. Thinking is happening. Doesn't matter what you're thinking, just know that you're thinking. And maybe the simple recognition of thinking occurs in a different part of the brain than discursive thinking, story-making thinking, conversations, judgments. And being in a different part of the brain, maybe there's a little bit of distance. There's all those thoughts there. And here, there is knowing that I'm thinking. And experiment when you do think, to know you're thinking in a calm way, maybe accepting way, untroubled. And as you know thinking, do you recognize whether you think more in words, more in images, or in some combination of the two? If you think in words, is there any tone in those words, or attitudes, emotions? Is it gentle or harsh? Timid, scared, or assertive and loud, harsh? Whatever way it is to be untroubled, know it from that simple place in the brain that can see it and know how it is. If you think more in images, do the images come with some flavor, emotional flavor, tone, like the mood music in the movies? whatever way you're thinking, is there any emotion associated with the thinking? And if there is, where in the body does that emotion manifest? And take a few moments to practice mindfulness of the body. And wherever the emotion is found, emotions occur in a different place in the mind and the body than the place where there's simple recognition. Oh, the here is an emotion. Quiet, untroubled knowing. Other parts of you might be troubled. May you find the place of knowing, recognition, that is untroubled. If you're thinking, is there a strong pull into the world of thinking? Is there a push or an energy between you and the thinking? Is there glue that holds it together? A compulsion, the glue or the compulsion to think might be strong interest and fascination, a taking pleasure in it. Being for or against the thinking. How we're relating to the thinking occurs in a different place in the mind than the place of simple recognition. As your thinking or thinking occurs, is there any physical tension or pressure associated with thinking, tightness, maybe there's a feeling of something being dense in the place in the mind where you think. So feel the denseness, the contraction, the tightness, the tension that might be there as you're thinking. Feel it as if you're doing mindfulness of the body. And if it's easy enough, as you exhale, relax the tension, the pressure. Ease up on the thinking mind. And gently landing attention on your breathing for the next few breaths. On the exhale, relax your thinking, let go of your thoughts. On the exhale, relaxing more of your body to settle onto the breathing, settle around it. Continuing with the breathing, but if thoughts become predominant, recognize your thinking. Recognize some of the different aspects of thinking as we did this morning. When you're ready, begin again with your breathing. Sometimes we can have a sense of a location in the brain, mind, where we're knowing, from where we're mindful. And if that's the case, maybe you can shift that location to the back of your skull. What happens if you know your experience? You're aware from a new location. Location not associated so much with self, so much with all our memories and history. Maybe the back of the skull, to know from there. For many people, their sense of self is closely associated with their thinking. I think, therefore I am. I am my thinking, so if I stop thinking, I won't be. Who are you if you don't answer the question with thoughts? Maybe being awake is an alternative to thinking. Being awake is a blessed alternative to being centered on a self. It is possible to practice mindfulness without any mindfulness of thinking beyond letting go of it. Some people just really center themselves on a primary practice of like breathing or body mindfulness or open awareness. And when they notice their thinking, they just let go of it and come back and come back and come back. And over time, that the thinking might quiet down and get settled and disappear. There's also the possibility of learning how to be mindful of thinking. So it's not only a matter of letting go of it, but becoming wise about how to think and how to be present for thinking. To learn to see it differently, to not be so identified with it perhaps. It's possible to become friends with your thinking mind. It doesn't have to be the enemy or the problem. So one way of practicing mindfulness is to let your thinking be, if it's in the background, if it's not, you don't have to have some idea that you're not supposed to think at all, but if there are thoughts in the background and they're not disturbing you, your practice, just let them be. But if the thoughts come into the foreground or become predominant, certainly you can just let go and start over again. Or you can take them as the object of mindfulness. And it turns out that thinking is really intimately connected to a whole ecology, inner ecology, or ecology, global ecology, it's connected, all its webs and connections. And to one of the reasons to be practice mindfulness of thinking is to start relaxing and opening up the attention to notice part of the ecology of it, the different components of thinking that is independent of the content. We tend to be seduced by the content. But if you don't focus on the content, you can be aware of the energy that goes into thinking. The tone of the voice, if there's thinking in voices. You can be aware of the emotions that's connected to it. You can notice the physicality of thinking. I kind of suspect that just about all forms of thinking have some little physical effect. And sometimes it's huge, you get headaches. tension builds up. So that's part of the wider ecology. So to learn how to, in a relaxed way, just let the mindfulness, the recognition, start taking in the bigger picture of thinking. It's a way of beginning to free ourselves from continually feeding the thinking or getting caught in it, involved in it, swept up in it. It takes some of the authority away from thinking. If we can see it more fully, what it is a present moment phenomena that involves thinking and body and sensations and emotions, all these kinds of different things. The art of it, when there's a whole ecology of things to notice, don't make it a big project. Keep it really simple. Maybe just touch into some of it at any given time and come back to your breathing. One of the last thing I'll say is one of the things that I found very beneficial is to kind of stay lovingly in touch with breathing in and breathing out. And somehow with staying grounded there so my attention doesn't get all completely hand it over to my thinking. Just breathe. And then kind of, I'm thinking, just breathe with my thinking. Breathe through my thinking. And that's a way of being mindful of it without kind of being seduced by it or handing my energy of attention over to thinking. Being hijacked. So as you go about today, the center, practicing here, if it's compatible with how you're practicing, you might consider moving about at the speed that you can notice whether or not you get pulled into thinking and away from mindfulness of the body, mindfulness of being here, pulled into the past, the future, fantasy, commentary, stories. Move slow enough so that, or in some way that you can notice where that, oh, there I go. I made it as far as the bottom of the steps, and I'm telling stories about all the shoes I see there. That didn't take long to get pulled into the world of shoes, or whatever it might be. And if you want a little bit of extra kind of wonderfulness in doing this, you could be a little bit humored about your thinking mind. Sometimes that's better than the alternative. If you're humored by your thinking mind, you'll never stop being amused. Or you might just a little bit smile. Don't take it too seriously.